My friends, this Sunday, all over the Archdiocese, is what is called DSF Sunday, which is the Sunday in which the Cardinal wants the whole Archdiocese to recognize who we are and what our responsibilities are. Now, allow me to because ultimately this is about all of you know the DSF is any of you who have not who are new to the diocese or new to this kind of to these letters DSF. It means Diocesan Services Fund. Diocesan Services Fund. Now, every time I speak on this Sunday. And I've been speaking on this kind of Sunday for 40 years, so I've confronted it many a time. I want to make sure that it's never degenerated into just, oh, they're asking for money again. And we only talk about the DSF once a year. But I think it's important that we look beyond the cynicism of, oh, they're talking about money again. Or the disappointment. And to understand that the gospel is about our entire lives. It's not about going to church. Going to church is a responsibility and sometimes hopefully a pleasure if it could be. But going to church is about staying connected. But being a disciple of Jesus, and notice, we have begun using the terminology, and I've been using it for a while, a disciple of Jesus. Because I think a lot of times when we say just being Catholic, we don't get the distinction that I am making more and more every day, and that is the distinction that you see in the new parish mission statement, transforming cultural Catholics into intentional disciples. That is a tremendous transition, because all of us start out as cultural Catholics. Well, maybe some converts don't. But most of us who were born Catholic, we start out as cultural Catholics. And so it's important that we understand that being an intentional disciple of Jesus means that you adopt a view of your life that is different from the one that you are born with. Because all of us are born interestingly, you know, the Catholic Church calls it something called original sin, meaning that we are all part of something in human nature that has been disconnected from God. We are all born that way. It's one of the few ways in which I agree with Madonna. You know, that song, Baby, I Was Born This Way. So yes, all of us are born. Now, what is original sin and why am I mentioning it? Because it's like a hereditary spiritual disease. It's not any sin that you committed yourself. It's like the way that all of us are born. Now, exactly what it means, we can see some shadows and some hints, but we really can't really see it all together. And here's why. Because ultimately, we don't know what it would have been like if we would not have inherited the malady, the disconnect from God called original sin. So why am I mentioning this? Because we are disconnected. And we walk throughout our lives, most of us, well, I think all of us in a certain sense, at times just wondering, who the heck am I? What am I here for? What's the purpose of all of this? And, you know, I find it very curious that we are the only animals, because we're ultimately mammals. We are the only animals that have no idea what the heck we're supposed to be doing. I mean, think about it. Now, you don't have a cat or a dog or a gerbil or a giraffe or anything going through an existential crisis of trying to figure out who they are. We're the only ones. We're the only ones. And the reason is, of course, that we're made in God's image and likeness. And because we're made in God's image and likeness, that entails freedom. And entailing freedom means that you're we're not like animals that are programmed, they're pre-programmed to be a certain way through instincts. But we're not that. We have certain instincts, but the majority of our lives is really up to our choice. And so because of that, when we are disciples of Jesus, we have to make an intention. Now, you're born, some of you may be here, for example, that you got dragged to church, and you have no intention right now of being a disciple of Jesus. That's okay. I spent many years in church being dragged by my mother, and I hated it. I hated it all the way. But there came a time when I grew up a little more, and I started to see the answers that Christianity was giving to life. And it was only when I got older that I began to become an intentional disciple. And an intentional disciple, remember what a disciple is. We're students. We are students of Jesus. And that means that we are studying Jesus to become like him, to learn how to live a normal human life. Now, that's, for me, a very basic. We humans, because of what I said of original sin, oh, by the way, if you know why, I wonder why I have my iPhone, this is my Bible here. I'm going to refer to it in a minute. But we human beings, like I said, we're disconnected. We don't know who we are. And so we walk around trying to figure out. And God becoming human, it's like, you know, that old saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself. And it's like God one day said, you know, you all have screwed this up so badly that I'm going to come and show you what it means to be a normal human being. We think we're normal, but we're not. We think we're normal because all of us are screwed up in the same way. And so we look at each other and go, hey, you're normal, you're normal. And when we see Jesus, he's the only one who's really normal because he is the original human being. He is the way we're supposed to be before we mess it up. Right? So, now why am I talking about this? Well, because part of the mess up that we inherited is the fact that, well, you can put it in a thousand ways, but it's the fact that all of us have turned just a little bit selfish, and sometimes a lot of bit selfish. That sometimes it's about number one, and we have disconnected ourselves not only from God, but disconnected ourselves from each other and from our responsibility to each other. And to become an intentional disciple is to begin to see the importance of changing our behavior, not only changing our behavior, but changing the way we look at life. That's Paul at one time in somewhere in the scriptures. I can't remember exactly what. See, if I were a Baptist minister, I could give you chapter and verse. But I'm a Catholic priest, and I know the Bible. I just don't know chapter and verse. But he says, Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now think about that. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So, being a disciple of Jesus is not just about going to church and then going out and being the same person that I was before. It's about slowly but surely, over time, allowing God and cooperating with His grace to renew your mind, to renew the way you look at life, to make sure that you worship the things that are worthwhile. Now, I just use that word, worship. And I use it because, and some of you have heard this from me before, but I use it because the word worship is really at the level where we have to change our minds. We have to change our minds. Let me tell you why. A long time ago, most of you know that I really enjoy studying, especially the roots of words. It's called etymology. Now, please don't say entomology. That's the study of insects. Etymology is the study of the history of words. And the word worship is really a very interesting word because it's very simple. The last part of the word, ship, is the art or practice of anything. So you can have penmanship, craftsmanship, authorship, all kinds of stuff like that. And so it's whatever you're going to practice or value. Now, W-O-R. So what is W-O-R? It's a shortened way of saying worth. W-O-R-T-H. Worth. So what is worth-ship? The art and practice of getting the things that are worthwhile in their correct order. And so when you come to worship God, you are saying, I'm here because I know the things that I value that I think are worthwhile are out of whack. And I would like, with God's grace, to renew my mind by reordering the things that are worthwhile into their correct order. That's why in the Old Testament, God would sometimes angrily say, this people worships me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Now why? Because you can come on and you can go to any church and say, yay, Jesus, yay, go, Jesus, we love you. Yes, go for it. We bring you flowers. And then go out and do whatever the heck you want. And you haven't changed a bit. You haven't changed a bit. And so, for us, as an intentional disciple, from cultural Catholic to intentional disciple, it really is about changing the way we view life, changing what is worthwhile, okay? And then acting upon our new ways of looking at life. Jesus, that's why St. Paul would say we have to put on the mind of Christ. You have to, by hanging out with Christ, you have to allow yourself to have your mind changed so that you begin to think and value the things that Christ valued. And if you're going to ask, well, what did Christ value the most? Well, he valued the most being faithful or obedient to his Father. His life, Jesus' life, was not about Jesus, was not about him. It was constant. that Jesus would say, what do you want me to do, Father? What do you want me to do? Now, one of the things that I always find very interesting is that for us as Americans, obedience is not a tremendously loved word, right? We like to think of ourselves as, you know, we're totally free. Nobody tells me what to do. But again, let's go to the word obedience, okay? And where does it come from? Here's another little interesting clue that helps me to understand what the heck I'm doing. The word obedience comes from the two Latin words, obey and dire. Obedire. Now, if you know a little Spanish or Latin, obey is awfully similar to the word oye, which means listen, to listen, obey. And dire is actually the future tense in Spanish of what I shall say. Listen to what I shall say. Obedire. Now we might say, well, what does that have to do with obedience? Well, the question is, who are you giving greatest weight and who are you listening to in your life? Are folks, everybody is obeying somebody. Everybody's obeying somebody. The moment you buy the right purse or the right pair of jeans or the right car, you're obeying cultural tastes that you think they're your own, but they ain't. You've been brought up in a particular way to think a particular way. And so for Jesus, the highest worth was to say, I want to do what you want me to do, Father. That is the highest worth for me. And so his entire life was about, what do you want me to do? Now, so far you're sitting there going, or many of you are sitting there going, okay, this is supposed to be about DSF. Where is it? Ah, I bet you thought I'd never get there. I'm here. What is it? Listen to what St. Paul says in the second reading. I find this very intriguing. Listen to this. And listen to this with the word obedience in mind. Okay, who is Paul listening to when he is making a decision about what to do with his life? And listen to him saying, brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast. For an obligation, obedience, an obligation has been imposed on me. And woe to me if I do not preach it. Paul is understanding that to be a disciple of Jesus means that we put Jesus and being like him first. And then he says, what then? He goes on. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense. But if unwillingly, it doesn't matter because I have been entrusted with the stewardship. Now think about that. I have been entrusted with the stewardship. Anytime you go to work, you have been entrusted with the stewardship. Anytime you have children, you are entrusted with the stewardship. Any of you who are married, you're entrusted with the stewardship. If you go to school, you're entrusted with the stewardship. It means you have an obligation, obedire, to listen closely. We can't in life just go about and say, hey, it's all about me. We can't do that, okay? Because it's really not about us. You know, years ago, I read a very good book, if you haven't read it, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I knew I was going to like it, because the moment I opened the book, Rick Warren, the guy who wrote it, the very first line, it says, "It's not about you. It's not about you." And so, what does this have to do with the DSF? A lot. Because you see, because we are entrusted with each other, because Jesus told, we are disciples of Jesus, and he said to us, love one another, bear each other's burdens. Don't let just people, you know, suffer. You can't just be thinking about yourself. We got to think about each other, because we're in this together. You know, I'm always amazed, because Jesus only taught one prayer. Now, you'd think the holiest guy who ever lived would have taught a lot of prayers. One. And that prayer does not begin with the word "my." You don't say, "My Father, give me this day my daily bread." It's all about us. It's about our Father. We're brothers and sisters. And so, because of that, we can't just be, it's about me or it's about my family. It's about, and forget everybody else. Because the other thing is, we're Catholics. And as Catholics, Catholic, another one, last etymology, I promise you, I won't go on with this. Catholic comes from the word kato and holos, meaning concerning everyone, concerning the whole. Because Jesus told us we could not limit our care to people who just were around us. We have to care for each other, even those people that are our brothers and sisters, but they're around the world. What does DSF do? DSF, it's a fund. It's a fund. But it's a fund that helps to care for people who cannot be cared for by any one parish. Let me give you an example. The diocesan policy is that every parish has to care for all the sick people within the parish boundaries and for all the nursing homes and hospitals that are within your parish boundaries. That's the diocesan policy. We do not have any hospitals in our boundaries, but we have a boatload of nursing homes. And so I and the parish here is responsible for ministering to all of the people in the nursing homes, and especially us, because so many people are just abandoned in nursing homes. And so we're responsible for that. But now imagine that you're not sitting at St. Cyril's. Imagine that you are sitting now at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church. And St. Vincent de Paul happens to be located at the intersection of Buffalo Speedway and Holcomb. And within 2-minute drive inside the parish of St. Vincent de Paul is the Houston Medical Center. All of those hospitals fall inside their parish. Should we apply that rule that the two priests at St. Vincent de Paul should be in charge of all of the hospitals? They can't. They would never see it. They would never work in their parish, because there's thousands of beds, people, thousands of people that have to be visited. And when you're sick, you really need some help to help you cling to God. And so what do? We say, well, you know, it's their problem. We can't, because we're disciples of Jesus. And so we can't do that. And what the bishop and bishops have done for years, ever since I've been a priest, have said, hey, why don't we get a group of priests and a group of sisters and lay people, and we train them, and they go around to the entire medical center. There's 30 or 40 of them. That all they do is they visit people and bring communion and bring the sacraments to people in the medical center and all kinds of different hospitals, big hospitals around. That's all they do. Who's going to help subsidize that? The DSF. So what the bishop says is basically, look, let's put together a group, all the parishes in the archdiocese, and if all the parishes in the archdiocese chip in according to their donations, then we will handle the medical center. But not just that. Remember last week, something I never knew when I was coming in, the ministry to the sailors. Do you know how many thousands of men and women, I presume, come aboard to the Houston Ship Channel? These people have been at sea for months at a time. They hardly ever get to go to Mass, hardly ever confession, or hardly ever see a priest. There's a whole group of people that all they do is every time a ship docks, these guys can't get off, by the way. Ever since 9/11, they won't let these guys off the ships. And so the priests and the ministers have to go on board these ships to minister to all of those people. The prisons. I was in prison and you visited me, said Jesus. Who visits? Can we say, hey, it's your problem, man. You got yourself into prison. You stay there. No, we can't. They may have really messed it up, but we can't just say, the heck with you. And so we have a whole group of chaplains that, what do? Visit prisons. That's all they do. The ministry to the deaf. Have you ever thought about this? There's a whole ministry where masses are said in sign language. And you could go on and on and all the different things that no one parish can handle. No one parish can handle. That's the DSF, Diocesan Services Fund. And why do we care? Because we're intentional disciples of Jesus. Because we just can't say to heck with you. Because it's our responsibility. Like Paul, whether we like it or not, I hope we do it willingly. But even when we don't, we've been entrusted by God with a stewardship to take care of our brothers and sisters. So, let me bring this homily in for a landing. Many of you should have gotten a letter from the Cardinal. Every year, each parish is assigned a certain amount of money that you have to raise. It's usually a percentage of your last year's total offering. So I think our offering was $1.6 million, something like that. Now, don't think, oh, man, they're rich. No. By the way, do you know what our average light bill and air conditioning bill is here? You know? Try $7,000 a month. A month. Okay? And it goes on from there. You remember what we had to do with the pipes when everything blew up. Okay? So it's not a lot. But we are responsible for coming up with that. And what we ask is that everybody participate. This is not putting it in the offering. That's a separate issue. That's for our parish to maintain our ministries. But DSF is about reaching out, being instruments of God's mercy. Okay? I'm going to make a proposal to you. Now, if you can do a lot more, bless you. Thank you for doing it. And by the way, thank you for helping us last year, because we made our goal. If every parishioner would commit to giving $1 a day, we would more than make our goal. $1 a day. That's all we're asking of you. $1 every day. Now you can pay it off in a week. You can send it in every month, or you can send it immediately all at one time. But we're really asking you to please. We need to become intentional disciples. And part of it is that we're responsible. And part of it is that we can't just tell our brothers and sisters that you're not in our parish, we don't care. We can't do that. And you know why? Because we're Catholics. And Catholics don't exclude anybody. Okay, if you didn't get anything in the mail, there are some cards and some in the pews that you can use. You can take it home, or that's the card. And again, you can have it withdrawn from your check. You can give it a credit card. You can pretty much anything. But please, please, they're our brothers and sisters, and we have to care.